Hi, this is Jane on Monday, June 8th, reading the Salem News, June 8 edition. Golf club entry named after black inventor. The man responsible for the revolution of the New England shoe industries for decades in the late 1800s, and who helped lay the foundation of the company that built the Beverly Golf and Tennis Club, will finally get his due some 137 years after his passing. On Monday, following the Making History Golf Tournament that celebrates the city's 400th anniversary this year, the road leading into Beverly Golf and Tennis from McKay Street will be formally dedicated to Jan Ernst Metzeliger. Led by a request from Ward 1 Councilor Todd Rotondo, with support from historic Beverly director Abby Battis and former school committee member Kenan McKenzie DeFranza, president of the North Shore branch of the NAACP, the city council unanimously agreed last week to name the road Metzeliger Way. "We are excited about the unanimous vote taken by the city council in honor of Jan Ernst Metzeliger," Battis shared on the Beverly Historic Facebook page. The designation also marks a historic milestone for the city. Metzeliger Way is the first street in Beverly named for a black man. Born in 1852 in what is now Suriname, Metzeliger immigrated to the United States and settled in Lynn, where he worked in a shoe factory, Battis told councilors at a meeting on June 1. Determined to solve shoemaking's biggest challenge, he spent years developing a machine that automated the labor-intensive lasting process, she continued. In 1883, Metzeliger patented the first successful automatic shoe-lasting machine, increasing production from about 50 pairs of shoes a day to as many as 700, and revolutionizing the industry. Although Metzeliger died in 1889 at just 36 years old, his invention became one of the foundational technologies of what evolved into the United Shoe Machinery Company, helping drive the growth of the New England shoe industry for decades, she said. That legacy is deeply connected to Beverly. For generations, United Shoe Machinery shaped the city's economy, workforce, and industrial identity, Battis said. In 1910, the United Shoe Machinery Corp. built the Golf and Tennis Club. The clubhouse was a social and recreational facility for United Shoe's employees. The workers used the clubhouse and adjacent grounds for a variety of athletic and other recreational activities until 1971, when the clubhouse and surrounding 300 acres were sold to a private developer. In 1978, the city purchased the clubhouse and 168 acres, which the city has continued to use as a golf course. Currently, the club features an 18-hole golf course and 10 outdoor clay tennis courts. The Beverly Golf Commission voted unanimously to name the street after Metzeliger in April. In his letter to the council, Rotondo said that despite his profound contributions, Metzeliger did not receive full recognition during his lifetime. Naming it would serve as a long overdue tribute to his legacy, while also acknowledging Beverly's rich industrial heritage and commitment to recognizing historically overlooked figures. The dedication will take place on Monday, 5 p.m. at the Golf and Tennis Club at 134 McKay Street. The Making History Golf Tournament has a 10 a.m. shotgun start. Grads, you have been successful in every sense of the word. It was a picture-perfect day at Heard Stadium Sunday afternoon as 333 classmates gathering one final time together, receiving their Beverly High School diplomas before venturing off to find their own life's journey. Before hundreds of family members and friends, class officers reflected on memories, experiences, hardships, and, most importantly, friendships that were made over the years. starting out as the first fifth grade class to attend the middle school and the first class. The class of 2026 was also the first to graduate under the guidance of Principal Mark Thomas. As a class, you have been successful in every sense of the word, said Thomas. You have excelled academically, athletically, artistically, and in service in your community. You have embraced challenges, celebrated achievements, and demonstrated resilience when faced upon. Student speaker Elvina Butsova talked about facing her own adversity. She came to America in the third grade, losing her mother to cancer shortly after that, and noted that she was able to get through those tough times because of the support she received from new friends and inspiring teachers. Alana Foss honored a fallen classmate, Molly Spiridigliosi, who passed away 2 years ago. Spiridigliosi was described as a bright light and one of those rare people whose friendship we cherished. Her companionship left a lasting impression on everyone who had the privilege of knowing her. Her family accepted the diploma that was followed by a rendition of Choose Joy, performed by the BHS Concert Band. Victoria Willington, who will be attending Providence College, said her greatest accomplishment as class president was the friendships she built over the last 4 years. In a class as big as ours, I've been lucky enough to know many of you, and within that, I have found my lifelong friends. I feel extremely fortunate that this goodbye feels so hard because it means I have something worth holding on to, she said. We share a unique bond from growing up together. No one else from here on out will know each other as well as we do now. And most of the time, when I picture one of you, I still see your middle school face. Salutatorian Delia Goker, who will attend Union College, said that experiences and the challenges from freshman year to senior year will set her classmates up for future endeavors. All the different programs, clubs, sports teams, and arts involvement have shaped our lives, she said. Let's be honest. When people talk about high school memories, they aren't talking about the things you read in your history textbook or the math final you took, but all these different activities and experiences that help define your identity. Those experiences and memories will keep this class together, no matter where everyone ventures off to, said Butsova, who will be attending UMass Amherst. Each of us has a unique story to tell. Our collective stories have created a support system that keeps us connected. Over the years, we've grown up together, she said. We've shared classrooms, field trips, school events, inside jokes, and memories that we'll carry with us long after today. Although our paths take us in different directions after graduation, we will always be the Beverly High School class of 2026. Valedictorian Svetlana Piasecki, who will be attending the University of Southern California, offered a few words of wisdom when it comes to what lies ahead. I believe we are thinking about the future on too large a scale. The question we should ask ourselves is not what we want to do, but who we want to be, she said. Rather than prioritizing the degrees we hope to earn, the jobs we intend to pursue, or the wealth we dream of accumulating, we should focus on the compassion we extend to others, the belief we hold in ourselves, and the intention we act with each day. While setting goals and pursuing them is valuable, I urge us all to remember that the way we carry ourselves every day defines who we are, and that our small, intentional actions compose our lives. Before the diplomas were passed out, Thomas noted that Beverly High will remain a special place for each and every one of the graduating seniors. I hope you always remember that Beverly High School is more than just a building. It's a community, he said. It's a place where you learned, grew, and discovered who you are. No matter where life takes you, you will always be a part of this community. Your successes will be celebrated here. Your memories will remain here, and you'll always have a place here. When Topps poll in 6th CD, Markey and Moulton still wrangling over debates. A new internal poll show State Representative Tram Nguyen, Democrat from Andover, leading the crowded field of Democrats vying for the party's nomination to run for the 6th congressional district seat in the midterm elections. The survey of about 400 likely Democratic voters released by Nguyen's campaign last week shows her with 28% of the vote, compared with 18% for former Biden administration official Dan Coe, with at least 24% still undecided. Other Democrats in the congressional race received single-digit support, according to pollsters. Nguyen's polling group, Workbench Strategy, also provided those it surveyed with brief biographical information about each of the candidates, as well as a series of positive messaging statements about Nguyen, which increased her support from 28% to 47% in the informed vote, the company said. At this early stage of the election, the race for Massachusetts' 6th congressional district is wide open. Workbench Strategy pollster Jane Rayburn said in a summary of the survey, in a well-funded communication scenario, Nguyen has a clear path to building a broad coalition of voters and is competitive against the field to win in September. It's the second poll to show Nguyen at the head of the pack of congressional candidates seeking to replace outgoing Democratic Representative Seth Moulton, who is running for a U.S. Senate seat. In May, Linfield attorney and businessman John Besha released details of an internal poll paid for by his campaign showing a neck-and-neck race between him and Coe, but the poll showed Nguyen slightly ahead of both Besha and Coe with 14% of those surveyed. Another poll in the race released in May by Democrat Bethany Andre Beck showed the Middleton software engineer and former Representative Jamie Belsito, who are also running for the congressional seat, tied in first place, with each getting 14% of those surveyed. So far, there has been no independent polling in the race. The winner of the September 1 Democratic primary will face Republican Micah Jones, an Essex attorney and U.S. Army veteran, in the general election. The debate over debating in the Markey U.S. Senate race is heating up, with incumbent Senator Ed Markey challenging Democratic rival Representative Seth Moulton to a third debate ahead of the primary. Markey called for adding a debate in Western Massachusetts in addition to two debates he has previously agreed to participate in ahead of the Democratic primary and November 3 general election. The 413 area code should not be an afterthought in this race, Markey said in a statement. Voters across Western Mass deserve to be talked to, not just talked about. Since Congressman Moulton already found time to debate a MAGA Republican, who isn't even his opponent, on a day when the Senate is in session, and I will be in Washington doing my job for the people of Massachusetts, I have no doubt he can find time to debate a fellow Democrat in Western Massachusetts, he added. Markey's invitation comes after weeks of ribbon by Moulton and Republican candidate John Deaton, both of whom have accused the 79-year-old incumbent of ducking debates. Moulton and Deaton have agreed to debate each other before the September 1 primary and have invited Markey to join the event. In response to Markey's call for another debate, Moulton's campaign said it welcomes a second debate and pushed back against the incumbent senator. No more hiding in Maryland, Ed. No more lies, Moulton said in a prepared statement. The voters of this Commonwealth deserve a transparent debate on the future of our country, and I look forward to a debate in Western Massachusetts. Moulton also renewed an invitation to Markey to join the June 16 WBZ debate with Deaton, the lone Republican in the race, and commit to a robust debate schedule ahead of the elections. It's an opportunity to directly debate Trump's horrible and racist policies, and to stand up for Massachusetts values, Moulton said. I am ready to debate you every single week until the primary in September, if you can keep up. Former gubernatorial candidate Mike Keneally has formally endorsed fellow Republican Mike Minogue in his quest to reclaim the governor's office for Republicans in the November elections. In a statement, Keneally said Minogue's business acumen as a former CEO of a technology company makes him the ideal candidate to take on Democratic Governor Mara Healey in a general election. He knows, like we all do, that Mara Healey has Massachusetts last in the nation in job growth and headed in the wrong direction, he said. The election is too important to the future of our state, and Mike Minogue is the proven job creator and innovator with a record and passion for service who can defeat Mara Healey. Keneally also blasted Shortsleeve for running an overwhelmingly negative and dishonest campaign that has provided wildly changing explanations for his past political donations and party affiliations. In the 40 days since the convention, Brian Shortsleeve has chosen to attack the grassroots, referring to delegates as insiders, a clown show, and a tiny group of people with a record of picking losers, Keneally said. This is a disingenuous flip-flop from the admiration Shortsleeve claimed to have for delegates during caucus season. Minogue won the state Republican Party's endorsement with a landslide win at the GOP's convention in Worcester in April, picking up 70% of the votes from about 1,800 party delegates. He will face Shortsleeve in the GOP primary. Shortsleeve, a venture capitalist and former MBTA official, also secured a spot on the ballot with 16% of the vote at the party's convention. Shortsleeve's campaign brushed off the endorsement, blasting Keneally as a failed candidate who was now backing a challenger unable to beat Healey in the election. Keneally made the calculated decision to endorse Mike Minogue because he believes that if Brian Shortsleeve advances to the general election, he will win, his campaign said in a statement. And if Brian wins, Michael knows he will never be governor. House approves data privacy protections. Massachusetts is poised to become the first state to restrict the use of personal information by technology companies as part of a data privacy package working its way through Beacon Hill's legislative process. On Thursday, the State House of Representatives approved a bill that would prohibit companies from collecting more data than necessary for products or services and shield sensitive information like biometric and health data. The State Senate approved a similar version of the Massachusetts Consumer Data Privacy Act in September. The measure, if signed by Governor Mara Healey, would also restrict the use of sensitive data for targeted digital advertising and allow consumers to opt out of having their personal information used to generate targeted ads. House Speaker Ron Mariano said the package of new restrictions will help the state keep pace with the challenges of an increasingly data-driven world in which technology is embedded in nearly every aspect of daily life. Consumers deserve meaningful protections for their personal information and greater control over how that information is collected, used, and sold, the Quincy Democrat said. This bill establishes common sense safeguards for sensitive data, strengthens transparency, and promotes accountability for entities that profit from personal information, striking an important balance between encouraging innovation and protecting the privacy rights of Massachusetts residents, Mariano added. The legislation was backed by digital privacy advocates who said without the protections, big tech companies will be allowed to collect and manipulate unlimited quantities of personal data about users of social media websites and other online platforms. For too long, data brokers and big tech have been able to gather our most personal information, including our precise location, and sell it to anyone with a credit card, Carol Rose, executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union, said in a prepared statement. This landmark bill puts a stop to those abuses, she said. It positions Massachusetts as a leader in protecting personal privacy and curbing digital surveillance. But the changes were opposed by major business groups and the tech industry, which say it goes beyond the bill's original intent to protect consumer data. A coalition of Massachusetts companies wrote to House lawmakers last week, urging them not to approve the changes, warning that the House and Senate proposals will increase costs, reduce effectiveness, and make it harder for Massachusetts businesses of all sizes to reach the customers necessary to grow. It would hurt our ability to compete against employers in almost every other state, including all our neighbors who are not subject to the same onerous constraints, the coalition wrote. Finally, it sends a clear message that Massachusetts does not want to be the state leading the digital economy, nor the home to future high-tech jobs. In Congress, lawmakers were considering a bipartisan data protection bill last year, but the measure failed to come up for a vote despite clearing a key legislative committee. The tech industry has pushed its own versions of the data privacy laws on a state and federal level. Most would require individuals to correct or delete personal data about themselves and opt out of use of such information for advertising. Differences between the House and Senate versions of the data privacy bill will need to be worked out by a yet-to-be-appointed conference committee before heading to Governor Maura Healey's desk for consideration. Local organization requests donations for annual school supply drive. With families' ability to afford school supplies for students becoming more challenging each year, organizations like SPUR are calling upon the local community to support their efforts in ensuring children have the tools they need to learn. Since around 2017, SPUR, a Marblehead-based volunteer organization, has provided new backpacks and school essentials to children in need throughout Lynn, Marblehead, Salem, and Swampscott. Children are selected for donations through collaboration with local school counselors, food pantry directors, social workers, and other social service providers who are familiar with the children's and families' needs. This year, SPUR will be making donations to over 650 students, the highest number of requests that the organization has received since the drive began. Each year, it's getting harder and harder for families to be able to provide the essential supplies needed for students, and the support of the community is imperative to make this drive happen. Brian Lamoureux, SPUR's Director of Volunteer Engagement, said, "The more people that hear about the drive, the more agencies get involved." Working closely with schools, SPUR has determined five different age groups for which they provide specifically tailored supplies in addition to backpacks. For younger age groups in kindergarten through fifth grade, SPUR equips students with supplies such as construction paper, crayons, and markers, while older groups up until grade 12 are provided supplies such as pens, rulers, notebooks, and composition books. The drive began on June 1 and runs until SPUR raises enough money to fulfill its requests from over 650 students. Individuals, organizations, and businesses can sponsor backpacks and school supplies, which SPUR purchases wholesale. From July 20th through August 12th, opportunities are available for supporters to personally fill each backpack and write a personalized note to each child. Service providers will pick up the backpacks filled with supplies and distribute them before the first day of school. Beverly Bootstraps, another local volunteer organization, has run a similar back-to-school backpack drive for students from low-income families in Beverly, Manchester, Hamilton, Wenham, and Essex since 2001. Donations of specific supplies as well as financial contributions can be made for the drive at the organization's website at beverlybootstraps.org/back-to-school-backpack-program. More information on SPUR and details on how to sponsor students is available on the organization's website at spurnorthshore.org/student-success-FAQ. World Cup visitors warned of immigration enforcement risks. With hundreds of thousands of international fans about to descend on Massachusetts for the FIFA World Cup, immigrant and refugee advocacy groups issued a travel advisory Thursday warning visitors about the risk of serious rights violations. International travelers could face denied entry, arrest, or deportation, as well as aggressive immigration enforcement, according to the advisory promoted by the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition, the New Hampshire Alliance of Immigrants and Refugees, and the Vermont Asylum Assistance Program. More than 120 organizations have signed on to the alert, which supporters say is needed in the absence of meaningful action from FIFA, host cities, or the Trump administration. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents are expected to help with World Cup security, which has fueled anxiety around the international event. On Beacon Hill, House and Senate negotiators met for the second time Wednesday to hash out differences in the PROTECT Act that's designed to block ICE agents from making civil arrests in sensitive locations and limit local law enforcement's relationships with ICE. The Black and Latino Legislative Caucus has tried to drum up urgency for a legally durable resolution that prioritizes the strongest protections for immigrant families ahead of the World Cup. I'm sorry, that's all we have time for today.